BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. And we do welcome you to a news roundup day here today. On Friday, we are going to be having a special entitled The Glory of the Cross, dealing with certainly Good Friday and the price that our Savior paid for us on the cross of Calvary. And so that will be our focus on Friday's program. And I trust you'll be able to join us for it, as well as staying tuned today as we present a number of news stories that have shown up from across the nation and around the world. And as Lori Gotz has been compiling many stories here, and so we'll share as many as we can to bring to your attention today. From the Hill, former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens now calling for a repeal of the Second Amendment, decrying the right to keep and bear arms as outdated and misunderstood. Folks, isn't that what the Heller decision was all about, that the Second Amendment is a individual right? And now the former Supreme Court Justice is saying, let's repeal the Second Amendment. In an op-ed published by the New York Times, Stevens said that students and anti-gun violence advocates should press lawmakers to take on the amendment. Well, on FoxNews.com, President Donald Trump took to Twitter today to defend the Second Amendment and issued a warning if Republicans come up short at the polls, saying, quote, "The Second Amendment will never be repealed, as much as Democrats would like to see this happen. And despite the words yesterday of former Supreme Court Justice Stevens, no way. We need more Republicans in 2018 and must always hold the Supreme Court." That's the tweet that was sent out early this morning from President Donald Trump. From WND.com, it's a tragic case that's rich with irony. Al Sharpton's half-brother, who protested with the anti-gun March of Our Lives on Saturday, has been charged with capital murder after the shooting death in Dothan, Alabama that happened the very next day. Kenneth Glasgow, the half-brother of Al Sharpton, suspected of being the driver of a vehicle linked to the Sunday murder of an individual. The shooting suspect, Jamie Towns, was a passenger in the car. Kenneth Glasgow, the half-brother of Sharpton, has been charged with capital murder following the homicide the day after his organization participated in the March of Our Lives. Even though Glasgow isn't suspected of actually firing the shot that killed Jennings, under Alabama law on aiding and abetting, he's still considered culpable for the death. What irony there. From the Daily Caller, author Benny Johnson wrote a piece as to what he calls the most hypocritical thing I saw at the March for Our Lives, saying, "I spent 4 hours at the March for Our Lives Saturday and asked dozens of protesters what specific legislation they wanted to see passed to end gun violence." Well, after filming, he wandered the march observances that were going on. He looked at the signs, messages that people were sending. Some of them having very bizarre signs, he said. Some were profane, some were ill-informed. But he said he personally witnessed multiple celebrities go in and out from their limousines under the heavily armed guard of private security members in the Capitol Police. He said, "I watched Katie Couric, Cher, George Clooney, and the student celebrities of Parkland all get escorted to safety by police officers who are visibly carrying holstered handguns. None of the speakers waived the protections of an armed officer. Every major movie star, singer, or student leaving the rally rushed to the protective bubble of well-armed security as they traveled from their gated backstage area to idling limousines and private cars." From the Hill, Democratic lawmakers turned out in force Saturday as hundreds of thousands of protesters gathered for the end of violence. The protests on Saturday were bolstered by some of the Democratic Party's most recognizable voices, notably former Barack Obama president, who tweeted a message of solidarity for students participating in the marches. And from Alex Newman, at thenewamerican.com, according to the national press, which was masterfully managed by high-priced public relations firms bankrolled by globalist billionaires on behalf of the children. Hundreds of thousands of people marched on March 24th in hundreds of cities. But what they paid less attention to was the fact that some of those marches were held in nations ruled by mass-murdering communist dictatorships that literally massacred their subjects after disarming them, writes Alex Newman. And here the former Supreme Court Justice says, let's do away with the Second Amendment. Also very interesting, a story on the Free Beacon, Washington Free Beacon. Activists set up a 501c4 dark money group, a common way to organize politically active nonprofits to plan and fund both the march itself and future activism to impose the new gun control measures they support. The group is not required to disclose its donors, but is able to participate in political speeches as long as it's not the main focus of their expenditures. Well, turning our attention to another issue here, in recent days, we saw that President Trump did appoint the former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton to replace General H.R. McMaster as his national security advisor. That is to take effect on April the 9th, and know that the president did take his time to find a replacement because he wanted the right person, Fox News reports. While Trump spoke to Bolton many times about the job, the deal was cemented in an Oval Office meeting between the two last Thursday afternoon. The position of White House National Security Advisor does not require Senate confirmation. Jihad Watch says this was long overdue. McMaster held to the Obama view that Islamic jihad terrorism had nothing to do with Islam, so that we mustn't offend Muslims by noting the obvious fact that there are numerous Islamic texts and teachings that exhort Muslims to wage war against unbelievers. That was McMaster's view. It is not the view, however, of John Bolton. And Planned Parenthood, yeah, last Friday morning, their Action Fund tweeted that Bolton was yet another extreme ideologue in the Trump-Pence administration's ongoing parade of dangerous appointees. And we find also, as Breitbart reports, that the move to Bolton was largely hailed by conservatives. He's known as being a hawk on North Korea, has even recommended a preemptive attack on the regime if it continues to threaten the United States. And his addition to Trump's foreign policy team sends a strong message ahead of negotiations between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Fox News tells us that increased activity at a North Korean nuclear site in recent weeks has tempered expectations among some analysts that the rogue regime will follow through on its promise to denuclearize or negotiate in good faith during a planned May summit with President Trump. Experts said in a release on 38 North, that's a website specializing in North Korean news and analysis, that activity was detected at a reactor located north of Pyongyang. The shows also the 5,000 kilowatts of nuclear reactors are ongoing. If the reactor is restarted as evidence, that means that North Korea probably resumed plutonium production for nuclear development. This also means that North Korea can extend the pipes for cooling water, the discharge to the river, not near the river. That would be to further conceal the operating condition of the nuclear reactor better and further make some future monitoring activities. Look a little bit more difficult. A military site in the area also showed an increase in personnel. From FoxNews.com, North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un met with the Chinese president Xi Jinping as an official, rather make it an unofficial visit to Beijing. China's state-run media reported late Tuesday. South Korea's news agency, citing North Korean state radio, reported that Kim Jong-un had visited China between Sunday and Wednesday local time at the Chinese president's invitation and was accompanied by his wife. In a statement, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said that the Chinese government contacted the White House earlier on Tuesday to brief us on Kim Jong-un's visit to Beijing. The briefing included a personal message from President Xi to President Trump, which has now been conveyed to President Trump. From the Hill, Russia and China are outpacing the United States in the development of super-fast missile technology. Pentagon officials and key lawmakers are warning. Right now, we're helpless, said Jim Inhofe, a senior member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Hypersonics are generally defined as missiles that can fly more than five times the speed of sound. General John Hyten, commander of the U.S. Strategic Command, last week described a hypersonic as a missile that starts out like a ballistic missile, but then it depresses the trajectory and then flies more like a cruise missile or an airplane. So it goes up into the low, reaches a space, and then it turns immediately back down and levels out and flies at a very high rate of speed. But in congressional testimony last week, Hyten conceded that U.S. missile defense cannot stop hypersonics, saying that the U.S. is instead relying on nuclear deterrence or the threat of a retaliatory U.S. strike as its a defense against such missiles. Also, The Hill is reporting that President Trump is suggesting a new branch of the military should be called the United States Space Force, that it should be created. Until recently, military operations in space have consisted of deploying platforms in orbit that gather and convey information, communication satellites, get that real-time linkage between military units. There's navigational satellites and reconnaissance satellites. But now the United States, Russia, and China are developing weapons to attack and destroy one another's space assets. The problem is that the space environment, even just in low Earth orbit, is like no place anyone has been called upon to make war. The characteristics of the space environment alone call for a separate branch of the military, calling a space force, as it were, to ensure the continuance of American power. What do you think about that, folks? The United States Space Force. Going back to the Washington Free Beacon, the Trump administration imposing up to $60 billion in trade restrictions on China to counter a concerted program of Chinese economic aggression against the United States. This was announced late last week. President Trump signed a directive based on the results of the U.S. Trade Representative Office investigated that blamed China for cyber attacks, forced technology transfers by U.S. businesses in China, and strategically targeting American technology for theft and acquisition. The directive was signed by President Trump late last week. Also, from FoxNews.com, President Trump Monday ordered the expulsion of 60 Russian intelligence officers in the United States and the closure of the Russian consulate in Seattle. That's in response to the nerve agent attack in the UK earlier this month, senior administrative official said. The steps following Britain's expulsion of Russian diplomats are meant to send a message to Moscow that actions have consequences. The Seattle consulate is being closed because of its proximity to submarine bases, as well as Boeing being located there. Well, things never let up at the United Nations, do they? And I'm so thankful for Nikki Haley, who serves in that position as ambassador to the UN here for the United States. Well, they had this session again that has taken place at the Human Rights Council, and Breaking Israel News reports that after their 37th month-long session in Geneva, the UN Human Rights Council has now approved 5 anti-Israel resolutions and called on the nations of the world to participate in an arms embargo against Israel. The UK and Australia decried the resolutions, with Nikki Haley threatening the US will leave the organization. The votes 27-4 with 15 abstentions. The Human Rights Commission of the UN called on the international community to stop selling military equipment to Israel. When the Human Rights Council treats Israel worse than North Korea, Iran, and Syria, it's the council itself that is foolish and unworthy of its name, said Haley. Very interesting indeed, and saying that the U.S. continues to evaluate our membership in the Human Rights Council. We'll have more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists say that the biblical flood laid down all the fossils?
No, we don't, Chris. Now, we do think that the flood of Noah's day is responsible for most of the fossils in geologic strata, but certainly not all. We talk about a time of residual catastrophism after the flood, which included the Ice Age. During this time, a lot of fossils were formed. Ice Age fossils would typically lie on top of the flood fossils, which came earlier. Now, of course, there are some fossils being formed today in minor catastrophes, minor floods, minor tsunamis. But these are of local extent, not like the fossils in strata from the flood. Chris, the biblical story of Noah's flood is absolutely essential for a full creation understanding. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, having a news roundup day here today. Much underway, lots of news going on since our last news roundup. And also, Lord willing, on Friday, we plan to have a special called The Glory of the Cross that we trust you'll be able to listen to here on VCY America. Let's go back to some of the news here from townhall.com. Interesting story report here. This is former President Obama envisioning a world full of young leaders who are just like him. Speaking at a conference in Japan Sunday, Obama spoke a great deal about the Obama Foundation's efforts to help young people in the U.S. and around the world get connected through the Internet. He said, if I could do that effectively, then, you know, I would create 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 young Barack Obamas or Michelle Obamas. He said, or the next group of people who could take that baton in that relay race that is human progress. He calls it human progress. The former president pointed to the impact young people are having in the U.S. and abroad, pointing to the anti-gun March for Our Lives rally over the weekend as being an example. Well, certainly other news going on this week, or in the last several days as well. The Trump administration announced last Friday that, with few exceptions, transgender individuals would be banned from serving in the U.S. military. This is from TheNewAmerican.com. In a statement, the White House press secretary announced that President Trump has issued his latest memorandum to clear the way for Defense Secretary James Mattis to implement a new policy developed through extensive study by senior uniformed and civilian leaders, including combat veterans. The updated policy will free up the military to apply well-established mental and physical health standards, including those that are relating and regarding the use of medical drugs, equally to all individuals who want to join and fight for the best military force the world has ever seen, the press statement explained. Well, in his recommendations for a new policy made in February, Mattis had emphasized the importance of having troops that were ready to deploy and engage effectively in the battlefield. Also in February, the Pentagon implemented a policy that would dismiss soldiers who are not able to deploy for 1 year, a policy that would impact transgender personnel subject to medical procedures not available in a war zone. The memorandum said that individuals with a history of gender dysphoria, defined as those who may require substantial medical treatment, including through medical drugs or surgery, are disqualified from military service except under certain limited circumstances. Those who are currently in the U.S. military may remain in their ranks, but the Pentagon could require them to serve according to their gender at birth. In a memo to the president, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis cited substantial risk about military personnel who seek to change or who question their gender identity. He found that individuals with a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria presented a risk to military effectiveness and could undermine readiness, disrupt unit cohesion, and impose an unreasonable burden on the military that's not conducive to military readiness and lethality. We also have... Matt Staver from Liberty Council saying, I commend President Trump for refocusing the military's mission to emphasize readiness and unit cohesion. The report from the Defense Department concludes that there are substantial risks to military effectiveness and readiness regarding people who have gender dysphoria. The military is not a social club, but rather a fine-tuned fighting machine of men and women who defend our freedom. It is not a right, but a privilege to serve, said Staver. He also said the duty of military officers is to appropriately lead and prepare their personnel to serve and protect, and they cannot do that when there's confusion, dysfunction, and distraction. From LifeSiteNews.com, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services no longer is hosting a webpage on lesbian, bisexual, specific health issues. The Sunlight Foundation reports that the Trump administration has deleted from the HHS Office of Women's Health website a page called Lesbian and Bisexual Health. The original URL leads to an error message now. The page is inaccessible, but found that since taking office, they report that The Trump administration has removed LGBT references in a variety of government materials in the first month of his presidency. Nearly all instances of the LGBT acronym were scrubbed from State Department's website. Last March, the U.S. Census Bureau stopped asking for surveys respondents' sexual orientation or gender identity. And last October, HHS cut all LGBT references from its strategic plan for fiscal years 2018 through 2022. The Human Rights Campaign applauding Washington Governor Jay Inslee to sign a ban on conversion therapy among youth. Also yesterday, the Milwaukee Common Council on a 12-2 vote became the first city in the state of Wisconsin to put a ban on counseling a young person under 18, in what they term conversion therapy. Certainly there's outrage regarding this. They said this has nothing to do with religion or the church or ministries. Pastors are still free to do what they want. But folks, certainly this is the gateway that they were looking for, as has happened in other communities as well. It's coming to your town next. And where does this lead? Well, let's go to the Fort Myers News Press. Karen Cooper, who was ready to go out on a limb to save her beloved, so she got married to a tree. Specifically, the giant ficus that has shaded Snell Family Park in Fort Myers for more than a century. The tree became the center of a neighborhood controversy when city staff began discussing cutting it down last year. So she began mobilizing to save it in an effort that culminated with the waterfront nuptials Saturday, complete with flowers, music, a tree-decorated wedding cake, and a canine ring bearer named Little Bear. She got the idea of marrying this tree from a group of women who've been protesting deforestation in Mexico by marrying trees, so staged the wedding 3 days ahead of Tuesday's Beautification Advisory Board meeting when the tree's fate was on the agenda. Getting married to a tree? I guess once you change the definition of marriage, folks, it doesn't matter anymore, does it? From FoxNews.com, President Trump has signed the $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill last Friday, despite an earlier attempt to veto the legislation due to the lack of border wall funding and a fix for DACA. But he signed this mammoth legislation, saying in a press availability with other members of the administration that in order to secure a necessary increase in military spending, that he had to give money to Democratic projects that he derided as a wasted sum of money. It's not right, and it's very bad for our country, he said, but he said that the military spending was very important and that for that reason he decided to sign the bill. That includes money, folks, for Planned Parenthood. Also, the Washington Free Beacon reports that the House and Senate increased their own budgets in this omnibus spending package. The Senate increased its total salaries of officers and employees by $12.6 million in this 2,232-page bill that lawmakers had fewer than 48 hours to read and vote on it. The House of Representatives also increased their budget to $1.2 billion. That's $10.9 million above 2017 levels. The Senate increased its expense account, giving expense allowances from $177,000 up to $192,000. The legislation also mandates the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau to improve wine label accuracy. Isn't that something? Let's also take a look here from the Daily Torch. We also see that the omnibus reversed one of Obama's administrative land grabs. Americans for Limited Government put out a story that finalized in 2015 through the Obama administration's Department of Interior. The Sage-Grouse Protection Plan was a large-scale federal conservation plan to preserve a bird that was not even threatened enough to land on the endangered species list. Well, they put forth in this bill that none of the funds made available by this act would be allowed to put this bird on the endangered list and prevents the sage-grouse protections from being enforced because the funding will not exist. Very interesting indeed. And what is probably the most insulting aspect of the omnibus, according here, this is from also from the Daily Torch as well. They indicate that U.S. taxpayers are borrowing money from China only to send millions back to China for developmental aid, only to have China charge U.S. taxpayers interest on the free money that we gave them. Is that something? So we borrow money from China to send millions back to China for aid, only to have China charge us interest. Figure that one out. From LifeSiteNews.com, on Sunday, Indiana's Republican Governor Eric Holcomb signed legislation empowering prosecutors to recognize preborn babies as second victims in the murder of their mothers. He also signed legislation strengthening scrutiny of abortion facilities. Senate-enrolled Act 203 gives prosecutors the discretion to charge individuals with murder, voluntary manslaughter, or involuntary manslaughter against a preborn baby if they did so in the course of committing the same crime against a pregnant woman. Also from thenewamerican.com, Tuesday, two Ohio's House of Representatives, Ron Hood and Nino Vitale, introduced a bill that would ban all abortion statewide in all stages of pregnancy in Ohio. HB 565 defines an unborn human as a person under Ohio's criminal code and would allow criminal charges to be brought against a woman who attempts to have an abortion as well as doctors. Under the bill, abortions could be punishable by life in prison and even the death penalty. The Ohio affiliate of NABRAL, the pro-abortion group, predictably voiced its immediate opposition to the legislation. But Tuesday, two representatives introduced the bill that would ban all abortions statewide in Ohio in all stages of pregnancy. Coming from LifeNews.com, the Tennessee legislature has given final approval to a bill that would defund Planned Parenthood. The House passed the legislation last Thursday, a very strong vote of 74 to 15. The Senate passed it 25 to 1. According to Tennessee Right to Life, prior to 2009, Planned Parenthood facilities received preferential treatment in the awarding of more than $1 million annually. For decades, the funds were automatically directed to Planned Parenthood without any bidding process or request for proposals from other entities. Well, if signed by the governor, this would permanently establish the first priority for distribution of the funds be given to public health departments, the policy of the Haslam administration since 2011. Also from LifeSiteNews.com, a 17-year-old California student planning a pro-life walkout to take place at schools across the country next month in imitation of the recent gun violence protest. The aim is to bear witness to the millions of lives destroyed by abortion. The event will also test if there is a double standard from school administration when it comes to allowing students to protest against destroyers of life and the tools that they use. Rockland High School student Brandon Gillespie is organizing a nationwide pro-life student demonstration to honor all the lives of the million of aborted babies every year. He also wants to focus the nation's attention on cruel injustices taking place at Planned Parenthood. Every school in the United States, he said, is encouraged to participate in the pro-life walkout Wednesday, April 11th. Wednesday, April 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time for 17 minutes. The Washington Free Beacon reports Planned Parenthood affiliate in Keystone, I guess that's Pennsylvania, much of eastern Pennsylvania, tweeted out Tuesday, "We need a Disney princess who's had an abortion." A Disney princess who's had an abortion. Troubling indeed. We need a Disney princess who's pro-choice. We need a Disney princess who's an undocumented immigrant. We need a Disney princess who's trans. We'll be back with just a few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words, "In the beginning," all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today, and just a few more stories before we open phone lines for you today. A story coming from LifeNews.com, San Francisco politicians recently examined the fur coat industry and determined it was a shame that the city was killing animals for profit. This occurred a mere 8 months after San Francisco city leaders examined an old auto shop and determined that it was a perfect place for Planned Parenthood to systematically kill unborn babies for profit. On Tuesday, this would be last Tuesday, a week ago, San Francisco's Board of Supervisors banned the sale of all fur items, including souvenirs and accessories, and prohibited fur items purchased online from being delivered to any San Francisco address, CBS Local reported. San Francisco Supervisor Katie Tang, who wrote the ban, is more concerned about morals and economics. It's estimated that around the world, some 50 million animals are slaughtered in gruesome ways so that we can wear their fur and look fashionable, she told the San Francisco Chronicle. But San Francisco does not seem to have a problem with more than 60 million babies who've been killed in the womb since Roe v. Wade here in the United States alone, many of whom were slaughtered in gruesome ways. Dismemberment abortions, a baby torn apart limb from limb, that doesn't seem to bother, but please do not wear fur. A story coming to us from Breitbart tells us that the Tennessee Senate has passed a bill that would require that the U.S. motto, "In God We Trust," be posted on public school property in a prominent place for students to see each day. The bill's been passed by both houses of the legislature and before the governor for a signature. Folks, there's not only problems out in the secular world, but in the religious world as well. Coming from ChristianNews.net, a megachurch minister recently told his congregation that he thinks it's insanity to believe that men will go to hell for rejecting Christ and claimed that it is not even what Jesus believes. His comments have been met with an outcry as blasphemy and false teaching from many who have viewed an online video clip of the remarks. Michael Walrond, Jr., leads the First Corinthian Baptist Church in Harlem, an assembly that expanded from 350 members to 10,000 members within the past 14 years, according to the website. He said, I'm not one of those people. There was a time when you would see people in the pulpit say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. That's insanity in many ways because that's not what Jesus even believes, he asserted, generating a smattering of applause. And so the key is, do you believe in God? And whatever your path is to God, I celebrate that. Personally, I celebrate that. Don't we have wolves coming in sheep's clothing? Here's where they know what true religion is in China. China Aid tells us that authorities across many regions in China's central Henan province have started going door-to-door, forbidding all meetings of Christian citizens and disbanding house church groups. In a crackdown that started on February 1st, house churches in Henan have been interrupted and forbidden from gathering, even meetings of only two people. Only two people are not allowed. Let's go to the phone lines today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. From FoxNews.com, California on Monday promised to sue the Trump administration. Why? Because the Trump administration has looked to replace on the census, the 2020 census, if they asking the question if they're a citizen of the United States. According to this Commerce Department, almost every decennial census, that's every 10 years between 1820 and 1950, asks the question on citizenship in some form. The department said that the citizenship question would be the same as the one that was asked on the yearly American Community Survey. What's interesting is that we have Barack Obama removing that question from the census. But in the census back under the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton made sure that question was on there. And another story here from FoxNews.com, more towns and cities in California are exploring options to follow Los Alamitos in rejecting the state sanctuary law. Members of their council voted to opt out of the state law that limits cooperation between local police and federal immigration agents. See, California seeks to be that sanctuary state. And they also report on Fox News that a California sheriff's office announced Monday that it will provide public information on when inmates are released from jail, a move coming amid a growing backlash against the liberal state sanctuary laws that would limit cooperation with federal immigration officials. The Orange County Register reported that the county sheriff's department will publish a Who's in Jail online database, including the date and time of inmates' release, to help cooperate with other law enforcement agencies, including Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Undersheriff Don Barnes cited California's sanctuary legislation that limits the instances in which the state and local police agencies can inform federal authorities about an illegal immigrant's release from detention, specifically as a reason for the move. So he's just going to publish when inmates are going to be released from jail. Interesting indeed. Well, let's go to the phone lines here today. Telephone number 800-733-9829. Ron is calling from Mansfield, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
And Jim, wonderful program. I hold a master's degree in history, and I read where Justice Stevens said we ought to repeal the Second Amendment. Well, here's the deal. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution are the Bill of Rights, which are the reasons the states ratified the Constitution in 1787. And if the Second Amendment can be repealed, can they repeal our right to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, right to trial by jury? And remember, the Constitution did not grant us rights. They merely recognized rights we already had.
You spoke it well. You spoke it well, Ron. Appreciate the call. Thank you. We've okay. got Dawn in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
I would like to comment on the new ordinance that passed in the city of Milwaukee on not being able to counsel transgenderism.
Yes.
Those youth that come from ages 0 to 18. I did see on television they aired what happened in the courtroom, and I felt that it was very interesting because I saw, as I looked at what was being said, in the two opposing sides, I saw the Christians that held their signs and said, you don't have the right to determine how we should counsel our children. And then on the other side, I saw a lot of clergy with rainbow stickers that were obviously homosexual and homosexual ministers. And what I saw was that it turned into more of a Christian value, more so than what they turned it into the issue in the courtroom visually of saying that this
was
not a message against.
Just for correction, that was not a courtroom, it was a city council chambers.
That was a city council chambers.
Right.
Now does it, are they going to give the community the opportunity to speak against this, or is that final?
Their vote is final. As a matter of fact, there was a move to put it back into committee so that the committee could hear from the opposing side. It was so one-sided. All they heard was from the LGBT persuasion and the testimony. I mean, it was so troubling to hear the things that they said. But so there was a move to put it back into committee, and that was rejected by the Common Council. So their next vote was to pass it as that came forth out of the committee, and they passed it 12-2 with one abstaining.
The most unfortunate thing about that is that it's geared towards children.
Yeah.
There never was a discussion about children. They have been indoctrinating children within the schools of their sexuality, of sexuality at very early ages, of things that children do not even need to know about. It opens up their mind to these ideas, and because they are so innocent and so vulnerable and easily led and easily to take advantage of, it just seems to me that now there is not a legitimate voice to help them make better decisions for their life, like the doors are shut.
Yeah, and it's remarkable. You know, okay to guide a child to become transgender or to go the way of homosexuality, just do not counsel them opposite that. And it's troubling indeed. I know others are taking a look at this as to what further steps, but overwhelmingly they passed this 12-2 yesterday.
That to me is so sad because we have children that are so confused, they're so unloved, and when they are unloved, they retaliate with violence back because their love has been taken away, and now we're confusing them sexually. I just think it's such a violation against humans.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And I would refer you folks to our interview yesterday with David Arthur as he talked about these very issues from transgender to transformed. Powerful testimony he shared yesterday on Crosstalk. Mark and Monroe, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to point out that I believe the deep state is being spearheaded by Barack Hussein Obama and former Attorney General Eric Holder. I think they are really stepping it up to undermine the sovereignty of the U.S., and that's my comment.
Okay, and I think our current president administration would certainly concur with that, Mark. Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Pastor Mark in Missouri, you're on the air.
Yeah, to answer the point that the pastor has made about Jesus never referring to hell, that is something that was totally bogus in terms of Jesus ever communicating hell. Jesus is the very one that said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And then he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, Jesus says, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place.
It is.
Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And if you just, if the listening audience completely neglects Jesus, hell will be a place for the person that neglects Jesus. So I would urge people to understand Jesus spoke as much about hell as he did heaven, and he is the only way. He's the only way, truth, and life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate the call. And Revelation 20:15, whosoever not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life cast into the lake of fire. Waukesha, Wisconsin. Judy, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I was listening to your rundown there of the different incidents. Former President Obama is still on the loose. Am I correct? And Hillary Clinton is still on the loose. And I think they each belong in a very small cell already with what we know. And I don't understand why they're not. We already have enough on them. But from what I understand, the powers that be in our government are not sharing the information they already have, 1.2 million pages. And they're blacking them out, blacking phrases out with black lines. So I thank you very much for hearing
me out. Judy, just for clarification, what pages or report are you referring to that's being blacked out?
I was just told by a friend that it's on Facebook. That it was on Facebook already.
What report are you referring to?
I don't. It's something from the government. I don't know if it's FBI or the CIA or what it is, but I sure can find out more.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, and we'll take more of your calls in our final segment here at 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. We're looking now toward Resurrection Sunday, and the strongest evidence for the truth claims of Jesus Christ is his resurrection from the dead. In Matthew 12, the Pharisees asked Jesus to give them a sign that everything he says is true. Jesus replied by saying, quote, "No sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights," end quote. My friends, Jesus foretold his own death, which anyone could do if he were willing to arrange his own death. But my friends, Jesus also foretold his resurrection. And then he actually rose from the dead, and he appeared to so many, both the skeptics, the critics, and the believers. In fact, Paul says, go talk to the skeptics. They saw the risen Lord. He's risen indeed.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and going right back to the phone lines to Roy in Bayside. You're on the air. Hello, Roy. Hello, Roy. Okay, let's go next to Laura calling from Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I wanted to maybe point out or question, passing that ordinance seems to open the door for higher teenage suicide, which is already a problem. It's one of the main reasons for death in teenagers.
Well, what's interesting, Laura, is, and this is something that even David Arthur pointed out, is that that is not the it's not the counsel or guiding a person away from that lifestyle that is prompting them to suicide, but it is the lifestyle itself. The lifestyle itself that is leading young people to recognize that they're frustrated within themselves because they're trying to have their body do and be things that it is not.
Right. So I was just more concerned about why they did not bring this up about the teenage and the suicide problem as well.
Well, they did talk about suicide quite extensively, but what they blamed the attempts of suicide because of so-called conversion therapy. They were blaming conversion therapy for the suicide attempts, not the lifestyle or the death style choices that were being made by the individuals. Thank you, Laura, for the comments. Appreciate it so much. Let's go to Brad, West Allis, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim.
Hi.
Regarding that false pastor, I couldn't believe he said that. He said Jesus didn't believe he was the only way to heaven.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's something, all right. And those rainbow pastors in Milwaukee, causing the little ones to stumble by backing this homosexual transgender thing, they're causing the little ones to stumble, and Jesus said it'd be better if a millstone were put around their neck and they're thrown into the sea. Quite a few years ago now, Brandon was on the radio, and he said, you know what, it's going to come to the point where the lay people are going to have to do an end run around the church. And I called him up that day. I said, Brandon, you're right, but the lay people are the church, and they have to make that end run around the fakes, like the false pastors that say Jesus isn't the only way,
right,
and the rainbow pastors in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly right, Brad. And this is something I wondered as I heard this meeting unfold yesterday. I wonder how the city council meetings of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, turned out at those times. But there's going to be great accountability there. Certainly there are strong accolades to this, announcing this is the first city in Wisconsin. And keep in mind, it will not be the last, because they will use Milwaukee now as an example to all these other communities that need to do it too. They will eventually change it. Right now it just says council under those 18 to now put it toward any age. That will be another step. And also right now it says for a fee, soon that for a fee will be taken away too. And it will bid any kind of council going out to try and change one so-called sexual orientation.
Yeah, it's a foot in the door.
Yeah.
And it's none of their business. I'm going to keep harping on that. It's none of their business.
You know, what they're doing, they're forbidding a parent who has a 16-year-old who's gender confused from taking them to a counselor or therapist to deal with those, you know, to deal with their gender confusion. It would be against the law for the parent to do that.
It's like having a kid with a broken leg and they can't take him to the doctor to get it set.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad, for the call.
Thank you.
Caller on line 2, go ahead, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to exhort the true church out there to get involved in politics. For many years, the church has thought, oh, no, no, we just need to lead people to the Lord. But I'm telling you, the way our society is going, they're going to be continue killing people by abortion. And now this death style of the homosexual, transgender lifestyle, they're not going to let us tell our children not to be involved in. I want to exhort every true believer that's out there to give to the Lord not only your prayers, but your time to be involved in the political process. Consider and pray about running for school board and running for the Milwaukee Council. Those 12 people that voted for this were obviously not the true church. We need to get church members in every area of life, but especially in the politics, because that's what's going to affect us the most. We need godly laws in this nation. I just want to exhort the church out there to get involved and to realize that the devil is a liar, and if you try to get involved in politics, they will try dirty tactics against you, so don't be surprised about the lies. But the church has to stand up and support godly men and women.
Great. Thank you so much for the call. And I just want to add to your comment that it's not an either-or situation. Either we share the gospel or we get involved in politics. No, this is a both. We're to be both salt and light. It is a both. It's not either-or, something that is both. Denise in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to the repeal of the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. I thought that the judicial branch was supposed to just enforce the laws that are there already. Since when do they have the power or the right to repeal a law?
You're right. They do not. They do not have the authority to repeal the Constitution from which that comes. That's what he's advocating to be done, probably through the legislative process or some constitutional convention or some means. But that's one of the problems with what we call the overactive judiciary, an activist judiciary. And I'm thankful to know that he's a former justice, not an active justice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. And our final call from Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I just listened to this, and I got a few comments about Milwaukee. Is, you know, it's like a double standards. They're banning counseling for the kids, but who counseled the kids to become homosexuals or transgenders?
Yeah.
They didn't talk about that. Now, why are they banning them to keep them from going that direction while you got people counseling them going to that direction? Yeah. Now, that's double standards, and evidently Milwaukee and their council people, they need to be changed. And there is one thing that the people can do in that city. Hey, my kids are not going to school anymore. They're not going to go to no public school because this is where it's being taught.
Mark, thank you so much. I'm out of time here on the broadcast today, but thank you to you and to all the callers for your participation on the broadcast today. Crosstalk coming your way to keep you informed on critical issues. But folks, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be both salt and light. The only thing that's going to change life indeed is the gospel message. Proclaim it. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.